You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
A very good evening and a very warm welcome to Stories of the Day, your appointment with news from across the country and the world. Give me 20 minutes and I will give you the world. That has been my regular promise and it's a promise I shall fulfill today as well. My name is Rakesh Sharma and you're listening to Money Control.
Editor's Pick of the Day.
We start things off with the big news that is making the rounds. Moody's Investor Service today slashed its 2019-2020 GDP growth forecast for India to 5.8% from 6.2% earlier, saying the economy was experiencing a pronounced slowdown, which is partly related to long-lasting factors. The projection is lower than 6.1% that the RBI had forecast just last week. Moody's attributed the deceleration to an investment-led slowdown that has broadened into consumption driven by financial stress among rural households and weak job creation. It expected the growth to pick up to 6.6% in 2020-2021 and to around 7% over the medium term, but said the probability of sustained real GDP growth at or above 8% has significantly diminished. And there go all the $5 trillion economy plans. Last month, the Asian Development Bank and the Organization of Economic Cooperation and Development lowered 2019-2020 growth forecast for India by 50 basis points and 1.3 percentage points to 6.5% and 5.9% respectively. S&P's also lowered its India growth forecast to 6.3% from the earlier 7.1%. Moody's expected a 0.4 percentage point slippage in the fiscal deficit target of the government to 3.7% of the GDP in the current fiscal due to the corporate tax cut and lower nominal GDP growth. Meanwhile, Union Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman has said the government is giving sector-specific solutions to fight the slowdown in economic growth. She, however, parried a specific question on whether the government accepts if the country is in the midst of an economic slowdown. Hinting at measures like steps to improve exports, easing credit, making more money available by early repayments to vendors, and front-loading of banks' recapitalization, Sitharaman said the government has been working on sector-specific measures. The government is in the process of forming a task force to draw a blueprint for handing over operations of 150 trains and 50 railway stations to private operators in a time-bound manner. Niti Aayog CEO Amitabh Kant said while the railways was required to take up 400 railway stations for development into world-class stations, very few have been upgraded so far, and there was a necessity to take up the matter on priority for at least 50 stations. The Tejas Express on the Lucknow-Delhi route, which was flagged off on the 4th of October, is the railway's first experience of running a train by non-railway operator, that is its own subsidiary, IRCTC, which, by the way, has only recently had a blockbuster IPO. IRCTC has a slew of benefits worked out for its passengers, including combination meals, free insurance of up to 25 lakh rupees, and compensation in case of delays. A workforce analysis of listed companies reveals that the job loss in public sector was one of the worst in recent times, a report went on to say. In contrast to an increase of 9.2% headcount in private sector, the public sector saw a decline of 2.6% in FY19. The two biggest listed public sector employers, that is Coal India and State Bank of India, on a net basis, cut their workforce year-on-year by 4.4% for Coal India and 2.6% for SBI. This, according to foreign brokerage firm CLSA. The report went on to say, and I quote, the prominence of public sector companies in the overall job pie continues to shrink. Up to FY07, publicly listed firms comprised more than 50% of the total listed companies' workforce, but that has now come down to 25%. Unquote. On the other hand, services remains the driver at 8.2% year-on-year growth in FY19, while manufacturing job creation also remained weak at 0.3%. CLSA said that the job growth among listed companies in FY19 was 4.1% year-on-year for a comparable set of 238 companies, rising from 1.4% in FY18. According to the report, IT job growth was strong at 9% in FY19 compared with flat growth in FY18. IT companies under the analysis have added 0.1 million jobs. That's 100,000 jobs. Outsourced job service providers grew their workforce by an impressive 18% year-on-year. For every 5 jobs created, 4 were by IT and outsourced companies. IT and financials employ more than 50% of the workforce, said the report, out of which financials accounted for 28%. In news that has just emerged, TCS quarter 2 net up 1.8% at 8,042 crore rupees. It has also announced a special dividend of rupees 40 per share. Now, the IT bellwether had posted a profit of 8,131 crore rupees in the June quarter and 7,901 crore rupees in the year-ago period. Revenue in constant currency terms grew 8.4%, while revenue in rupee terms came in at 38,977 crore rupees, up 5.8% year-on-year. Revenue in US dollar terms came in at $5,517 million. The numbers missed analysts' estimates. IndusInd Bank results are also out. Quarter 2 net jumped 52% to 1,401 crore rupees. Gross NPAs up 2.2%. What are the other headlines from the world of business today? Raymond has sold a 20-acre Thane plot for 700 crore rupees. Wipro is suing Analog Devices for contract breach. Anil Ambani Group gets both sons on Reliance Infra board. Lamborghini Huracan EVO Spider launched in India at 4.1 crore rupees. Lakshmi Vilas Bank says it will raise capital as merger plans with India Bulls is shelved. That's the other big news coming out today. Lakshmi Vilas Bank said it would raise capital to grow business as the proposed merger with India Bulls Housing Finance got rejected by the Reserve Bank of India. On the 27th of September, LVB chairman told The Times of India that the bank had a plan B to raise capital on its own if the merger did not come through. Turning now to other pieces of news coming from the country, Union Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman has assured PMC Bank account holders that the government and the RBI were on an urgent basis looking to resolve the ongoing restrictions imposed. Sitharaman was accosted by bank holders outside the BJP office in Mumbai, where she arrived to address the media on the performance of the Devendra Fadnavis government ahead of the elections. She, however, reiterated that the finance ministry had no role to play in the ongoing investigation into alleged irregularities in the functioning of the bank. She added that the RBI representatives would be present in the meeting to understand the shortcomings, what happened, and if necessary, look at ways in which respective acts can be amended. The finance minister said the government could bring a legislation in the winter session of parliament to improve governing of cooperative banks. She said, and I quote, if amendments are going to help us curb or regulate malpractices or better empower the RBI itself, we would like to do it, unquote. The PMC Bank has was put under directions by the RBI last month due to weak financial health, wherein the central bank has capped the deposit withdrawals at 25,000 rupees. PMC is in bad health, allegedly due to its exposure to the near-bankrupt realty player HDIL, to which it has loaned over 70% of its 9,000 crore rupees in advances. In some extraordinary news for women across the country and indeed Indians, Mary Combe has registered a 5-0 unanimous victory over Ingrid Valencia of Colombia in the 51kg flyweight category to enter the semifinals of the AIBA Women's World Boxing Championships in Ulan-Ud today. Bidding for her 7th World Championships gold, Mary Combe became the only boxer, irrespective of the gender, to win 8 medals at the prestigious tournament. She has assured India of its first medal in the ongoing edition of the premier boxing event. In another bout of the day, Manju Rani beat Kim Hyang Mi to enter 48kg semi-finals and again assure India of a medal. Mary Combe will take on second-seeded Turk Busenaz Kakiroglu in her semi-final bout on Saturday. Entering into this edition, she had 6 gold and a silver in her kitty, but this is the first time the Manipuri has secured a world medal in the 51kg category. She had finished in the quarterfinals in this division in the past. This year alone, she won gold medals at the India Open in Guwahati and President's Cup in Indonesia. The 36-year-old won her last World Championships gold medal in New Delhi in 2018. Among her many accolades, Mary Combe has won Olympic bronze medal, 1 Asian Games gold medal, 4 Asian Championships gold medals, and 1 Commonwealth Games gold. This is news just coming in. Ranbaxy ex-promoter Shivinder Singh has been arrested in the fraud case by the Delhi police. Pharma giant Ranbaxy's ex-promoter Shivinder Singh was arrested on Thursday today in the 740 crore rupee fraud case. Shivinder Singh's brother Malvinder Singh is also named in the case. The two were raided by the Enforcement Directorate in August. The brothers have been accused by Religare Finvest of fraud and misappropriation of funds to the tune of 740 crore rupees. In December, a criminal complaint was filed by Religare Finvest with the Economic Offences Wing of Delhi Police against the Singh brothers. A case was filed against the brothers in May. The ED initiated the money laundering case against them. The state actors, quote-unquote, of Pakistan were behind the 10-odd weapons drop by drones across Punjab that took place in September. Intelligence agencies have informed the Home Ministry. In a report to the ministry, the agencies have also questioned why the Air Force or the Border Security Forces were unable to detect the drone activity, sources have told NDTV. The ministry has asked the National Investigation Agency, NIA, to investigate the role of Pakistan's state actors, the sources went on to say. It has also asked the National Technical Research Organization, NTRO, to work on a frequency on which these drones have been operating along the border. Polish author Olga Tokarczuk and Australian novelist Peter Handke have been named the 2018 and 2019 winners of the Nobel Prize for Literature. The Swedish Academy announced today the prize was postponed last year for the first time in 70 years after the Academy was hit by a sexual assault scandal at the height of the Me Too movement, leaving the institution paralyzed. Olga Tokarczuk, who is the author of the Books of Jacob, won the prize for a narrative imagination, as the jury said, that with the encyclopedic passion represents the crossing of boundaries as a form of life. The Polish writer was described by the Swedish Academy as someone who never views reality as something stable or everlasting. She constructs her novels in a tension between cultural opposites, nature versus culture, reason versus madness, male versus female, home versus alienation. Peter Handke, on the other hand, who once called for the Nobel Literature Prize to be abolished, won the same award for an influential work where that with linguistic ingenuity has explored the periphery and the specificity of human experience. This is what the citation said. The Academy praised Peter Handke's work, which it said is the extraordinary attention to landscapes and the material presence of the world, which has made cinema and painting two of his greatest sources of inspiration. In international business news very quickly, European Union finance ministers agreed the details of a small budget for the Eurozone for investment and reforms that will come into existence from 2021, their chairman Mario Centeno said today. The Eurozone budget will be around 17 billion euros, the Eurozone share of the 25 billion that the European Commission proposed for reform support in the EU. But Eurozone governments also agreed that they may increase that size through an intergovernmental agreement, with details to be sorted out before the new wider EU long-term budget kicks in from 2021. U.S. stock futures were slightly lower this morning as investors closely monitor the status of high-level trade talks between the U.S. and China, which begin today. Early morning, the Dow futures indicated a negative open of more than 50 points. Futures on the S&P and NASDAQ were marginally lower. Market focus is largely attuned to global trade developments after a slew of conflicting reports around Thursday's U.S.-China trade talks sent investors for a wild ride. The initial report that hit futures came from the South China Morning Post in China, which said the US and China made no progress in deputy-level trade talks this week. The report added that higher-level talks with China's Vice Premier Liu He would now be only one day. The issue of forced technology transfers, which China refused to put on the table, was the reason that talks were at a standstill, according to the South China Morning Post. Stock futures later recovered some of those losses after the White House said the SCMP report was inaccurate. However, a principal in the negotiations later said the schedule has become fluid, with Friday's session an open question. One possibility, according to the source, is Vice Minister Liao Min stays in Washington to continue the negotiations, but Vice Premier Liu He would leave early. Another possibility is that talks conclude on Thursday, just after one day of negotiations. In 2018, billionaires paid a smaller proportion of their income in taxes than average Americans. That is the first time this has happened in history, thanks to Trump. Billionaires paid 23% of their income in federal, state, and local taxes in 2018. The average American, meanwhile, paid 28%. The U.S. tax system is a giant flat tax, except at the top, where it's regressive, said Emmanuel Saez and Gabriel Zuckman in their book, The Triumph of Injustice. They went on to say, as a group, and although their individual stations are not all the same, the Trumps, the Zuckerbergs, and the Buffetts of this world pay lower taxes than the teachers and secretaries of the world. Payroll taxes and regressive sales tax increase poorer Americans' overall tax burden, according to Saez and Zuckman, while capital taxes that target investments typically held by the ultra-wealthy have been scaled back since 1980. Billionaire investor Warren Buffett wrote in the New York Times in 2011 that the percentage of his income that he pays in taxes has plummeted in recent decades, saying that he pays a lower tax rate than his secretary. Following on the US withdrawal of its troops from the border areas, Turkey launched a long-threatened military operation against Kurdish forces in Syria with a barrage of airstrikes and artillery fire, defying international outrage. Turkey's president, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, said it was aimed at preventing a terror corridor across his country's southern border. The bombings sent waves of civilians fleeing from towns and villages in the region. At least 7 people were killed in the initial bombardment. The SDF, that is the Syrian Democratic Force, a mostly Kurdish militia, has been Washington's main ally in the fight against ISIS in Syria. The group received U.S. arms in the battle to defeat the ISIS caliphate. It lost some 11,000 fighters in the years-long war before recapturing the last piece of ISIS territory in March. A spokesperson from the group called Trump's decision to withdraw a stab in the back. There are grave concerns that Turkey's offensive could affect the security around ISIS prisons and camps, home to some 18,000 militants and more than 70,000 refugees. The SDF has said it has had to withdraw some soldiers and redeploy them to defend against Turkey, raising fears that ISIS sleeper cells could try to attack the prisons and liberate those inside. The alliance between the US and Kurds has always infuriated Ankara, which considers the SDF a terrorist organization. The presence of some 1,000 US troops in northeast Syria had acted as a deterrent for any Turkish attack. The United Nations has repeatedly warned any military operation would seriously endanger the lives of 1.7 million people based there, particularly as 700,000 of them already rely on aid. Multiple human rights groups told The Independent that the fighting could spark the displacement of as many as 300,000 people, triggering a humanitarian catastrophe. The United Kingdom Security Minister Brandon Lewis has threatened EU citizens with deportation from the UK if they do not apply for settled status after Brexit. Home Office figures show 1 million of the estimated 3 million EU citizens in the UK have yet to apply for settled status that will allow them to stay in the UK. Lewis said these people risked being deported if they failed to apply by the end of 2020. Asked whether those who did not apply in the next 14 months would face deportation even if they fulfilled all legal conditions for a residence permit, Lewis said, theoretically, yes, we will apply all the rules. What's happening in the impeachment inquiry? House Democrats are prepping a wave of subpoenas after the Trump administration said it would ignore them. Democrats are now threatening to subpoena associates of Rudy Giuliani and State Department officials. That would include former U.S. Ambassador to Ukraine, Marie Yovanovitch. She is set for an interview Friday, but she may not appear because she is still a State Department employee. Democrats are also debating whether to hold a vote to formally authorize the impeachment inquiry. The White House and Trump's GOP defenders, that is Republican Party defenders, say until that happens, the entire effort is invalid. The Dems say it's not required under the Constitution. A new poll shows more than half of American voters want the president impeached and removed from office. Meanwhile, former Vice President Joe Biden, for the first time, has called for Trump's impeachment. A gunman's attack in the eastern German town of Halle was horrifying, but it could have been a lot worse if he'd been able to break down a synagogue's doors. The gunman, who was arrested, killed 2 people, one right outside the synagogue and one at a nearby shop. But he couldn't get through the doors of the synagogue, and that likely spared the lives of almost 80 people inside for Yom Kippur, which is the holiest day on the Jewish calendar. The attack was apparently live-streamed on Twitch, which is a platform owned by Amazon, and bore a rather striking similarity to the live video of the Christchurch attack in March in New Zealand. As usual, let's take a quick look at what's happening in the world of tech. It is time for the usual tech roundup. Humans can spot patterns of activity, but we can't see through walls. Advanced neural networks that use radio wave imaging to see have the exact opposite problem. And now, a new technique developed by researchers at MIT, that is Massachusetts Institute of Technology, is helping the neural networks see the world a little more clearly. The new method uses radio waves to train a neural network to spot patterns of activity that can't be viewed in visible light, according to a paper called Making the Invisible Visible: Action Recognition Through Walls and Occlusions. The researchers say the tech is especially helpful in difficult conditions, such as when someone is obscured in darkness or fog, or around a corner. The model takes radio frequency signals as input, generates 3D human skeletons as an intermediate representation, and recognizes actions and interactions of multiple people over time. Madrid's city council has a unique problem. Parrots. It's preparing a plan to clear the city of its pesky parrots, which will include ethical slaughter of the birds and sterilization of eggs. Argentine parrots, that is Myopsitta monachus, also known as monk parakeets, are native to South America, but many were kept as pets in Spain before ownership became illegal in 2011. Many of the parrots escaped or were released from captivity and are now prolific in Madrid, as well as a number of other areas in Spain. The population of these Argentine parrots in Madrid's parks has risen by 33%. In 3 years, to 12,000 already accounted for in 2019. The birds, considered an invasive species in Spain, are noisy, messy, and are certainly ruffling the feathers of local residents who've already filed 197 complaints about the birds this year. The birds also build nests which can reach up to 200 kilograms, which could pose a threat to Madrid's citizens if they were to fall. The parakeets are also thought to threaten biodiversity in the city by competing for food and damaging vegetation while building their nests. Nests that can reach up to 200 kilograms. That's fascinating. Though no cases have been confirmed, the council warned that the birds could pose a danger to human health as they could transmit bird flu, salmonella poisoning, or psittacosis, that is, parrot fever. The city council clarified that the objective was not to eliminate the whole parrot population, but the intervention was necessary. Quick look at the markets as usual. BSE Sensex lost 298 points, or 0.78%, to settle at 37,880. And Nifty 50 lost 79 points, or 0.7%, to end at 11,234.55. That's it. You're all caught up. I will, of course, see you first thing in the morning tomorrow with a morning walk down Dalal Street and stock picks of the day. Until then, have a great, great evening.
This has been today's Editor's Pick. And you've been listening to Money Control.
And now a word on a subscription product. Money Control Pro offers curated market data, independent equity analysis, exclusive trading recommendations, and actionable investment ideas to subscribers. In the great Diwali discount offer, you can get access to Money Control Pro for as little as ₹289 for 1 year. Use code Diwali. For more information, check out the Money Control website or mobile app.